News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. Okay, that's right. You've just tuned in to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold Bennett. And you know what? I'm excited about the conversation I think we're going to have today. So listen, you know how we do things. You know how we do. Call somebody, email somebody, text somebody. Let them know that Dr. Harold Bennett is on the air. Give It Some Thought is on the air on News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK. And we're about to have a wonderful conversation. Listen, welcome, welcome, welcome on this wonderful, wonderful Sunday afternoon in June. Just as pretty as it can be outside. The weather is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, here in this city, Atlanta, the state of Georgia, listen, it's just nice outside. You know, they call this Hotlanta, and we're moving in that direction. It's getting hot, but right now, it is a beautiful, beautiful day outside. And so I trust wherever you are, whether you're in North Carolina or Tennessee or Florida or South Carolina or New York or you in D.C., you know, or up there in St. Louis, Missouri, wherever you are, from wherever you're listening, I trust that environment, that you're having a wonderful, wonderful day. Listen. I want you to do something right quick. Listen, like WAOK 1380 WAOK on Facebook. Need you to like us so that you can become a part of the community. We talk, you know, clearly you can call in on the phones and we can talk via the phone lines. But there's nothing like, you know, also having this digital ability where you can send us questions, you can post information. And we can engage one another, you know, via the internet. So like WAOK Facebook page, do that. And like the gist of the matter with Dr. Bennett, the gist of the matter with Dr. Bennett, give it some thought with Dr. Bennett. And you also can be a part of our community and we can talk via cyber space, that kind of thing. You know, just trying to stay current. Listen. I want to send a shout out to Sean, my producer. Give yourself a hand, Sean. Oh, yeah. Sean says he wants to play big boy ball. So we're going to get Sean involved in these conversations. We're going to see what Sean thinks about some things. You know, there's a lot that's on my mind. I guess I got to get some things off my chest. One of the things that I was looking at this week that I find very interesting is what's happening down in Southern University. Y'all know me. You see my A&T stuff. You know, I love myself some HBCUs. Just love me some HBCUs. And, of course, my favorite HBCU. I love myself some North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State University in Greensboro, North Carolina. Just love me some A&T. So you know, I'm always talking about HBCUs. Listen what's happening down in Southern University down in Baton Rouge, where the Jaguars are. This is a very interesting kind of move. Southern University, y'all, Southern University has, in some kind of interesting kind of fate, they have now received official authorization to have a medicinal marijuana program. I said that. I'm going to say it again because I know y'all probably fell back in your seat. You say, what in the world? Yeah, down there in Louisiana, you know, in was it Baton Rouge, the Red Stick. Those Southern University Jaguars have found some kind of way to have some kind of medicinal marijuana program funded and whatnot. So, hey, Southern got something going on. We're going to have to keep an eye on Southern and see just where this thing goes. But my hat's off to them. I'm going to keep my eye on Southern and on this whole program and see what they're doing, you know, because you just never know. But my hat's off to Southern and even to all of the alums of Southern who are here in Atlanta or wherever you are. You know, you've done something that's very, very different. I think now, I could be wrong, but I'm thinking you're the only HBCU with this medicinal marijuana program. So, hey, you know, we'll just see where it goes. Hey, NBA Finals jumping off. Golden State, Cleveland. Golden State up 1-0. You know, y'all probably say no big deal. But there's a game tonight. We'll see what's going to happen. All right, I got a lot to talk about. I want you to stay plugged in, tuned in to 1380 WAOK. Listen, give it some thought. Dr. Bennett is here. I want to talk to you. I want you to tell somebody to call, listen in, whatever they want to do, because we want to have a wonderful conversation this afternoon. All right, great. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK. That's Wayman Tisdale. Y'all remember when Wayman used to play basketball? Wayman Tisdale, he plays that bass. That's called Hang Tight. Wayman can play. Wayman can play. But, you know, if I had to talk about my bass players, y'all probably know who I'm going to say. My all-time favorite is Marcus Miller. I like Marcus Miller. You know, I like a little Stanley Clark. Of course, if you want to go old school on me, I'm going to have to talk about Bootsy Collins. I have to throw him in there also. I guess we could list Wayman Tisdale amongst that group also. But I tell you, Sean, you like jazz?
Yep.
And who's your favorite? What instrument do you like?
Saxophone.
Okay. We'll see if we can play some saxophone. I'm certain you'll find some sax for us to listen. All right. Hey, y'all. You know what? It's a lot going on. And my heart is kind of heavy right now. I might as well just go ahead and tell you. I don't know if you all heard the story about Sedaria Davis in Chicago, 15-year-old African-American young woman. They found her dead. And what's so disturbing about her story is that her body had been mutilated. And, well, reports are, it is being reported, it's being said that her body was mutilated and, you know, fingers were missing and that some of her organs, you know, were missing. Organs were missing from her body. Now, I think this is an interesting kind of thing. I've read about these reports, and so I am saying it is reported. You know, I'm going to keep my eye on this situation. You know, because this is just a bit much. I mean, you know, this is absolutely despicable. I guess that would be the term I would use. It is, in fact, despicable to think that something like that could happen. You know, it's just bad when we think about young men and women losing their lives and those kinds of things. You know, you have a lot of people losing their lives, and so often a lot of this loss of life is connected with gunplay. You know, I was actually reading something earlier from the Chicago Tribune, that talked about the number of people who had been killed in Chicago via shootings, I think since yesterday, Saturday through Sunday. And the number is just phenomenal. One person had been killed. The report I read, one was killed. 14, 15 or so had been wounded as a result of shootings in Chicago just over the last couple of days. You know, that's a situation that we got to find a way to do something about. Even our faith communities, we've got to find a way to get involved and make an impact. And when I say make an impact, I am saying do something that makes a tangible kind of difference. Now, I'm going to say something right now that's going to probably get some of our boxers in a ward.
And if it does, it just does. Now, Sean, I'm about to shut it off. I'm about to shut it off, Sean. You know what I'm about to do? Here's what I'm about to say. Y'all, we got to do more than just pray, you know. And I'm going to say it because I know folks just want to go somewhere and just pray. And I guess your prayers are fine, but you got to do more than pray. You got to do more than pray. You're going to have to do more than pray to do something about these crime rates and these shootings and other kinds of things that are claiming the lives of our young people. And especially, you know, African-American women and African-American men, youngsters. We got to do something. We got to do more than just pray. All right. Now, I'm not knocking prayer. I don't want anybody saying that Bennett done turned into a stone cold secularist and think that I'm fighting I'm fighting against the wisdom of the ancestors, because you all know that the African world is a spiritual world. The African world clearly draws upon and grounds itself in belief in some higher power. So I'm not railing against that. But doggone, I mean, wherever you are, whichever mosque you in, or Christian, whichever church you in, or whoever you, whatever faith, you know, kind of proclivity you have, hey, we're going to have to do more than just sitting around praying and going on. We're going to have to figure out a way. We're going to have to find a way to do something about this violence that's present in our community. So my heart goes out, you know, not only to Sedaria Davis's family, but also to those who, you know, not just in Chicago, but wherever, you know, we have this kind of thing going on. And when I say this kind of thing, I'm just talking about this senseless violence, you know, senseless violence. All right, good. Write it down. And I know you probably going to say, Bennett about to lost his mind. And you know what? That's good if you think that. You can give me a call, 404-892-2703, and I'd love to talk with you, and we'll just see how much of my mind I have really lost. Oh, I got to tell y'all something funny. I actually got a chance to view some of the postings. Some of you all have gotten involved with us, and you engage us digitally. You do that kind of thing. And let me tell you what I saw. I actually saw this video of this FBI agent. I guess that's what he was doing. And I guess he called himself trying to dance or something. And he did a flip or whatever it was he was doing. And dude had his gun, and the gun came out, hit the ground or something. He gonna pick it up, and the gun goes off. Ah, isn't that something? Gun goes off. And the caption says that he shot somebody in the leg. Now, I don't know. I'd have to see more about it. But look at that. Isn't that something? Here he is out there dancing, got his gun on him. Gun goes off. He done shot somebody, and he walking around with his hands up like he hadn't done anything. I mean, come on now. Y'all know, had there been a brother out there dancing, and I don't care if he had been licensed to carry, and the gun would have come out his holster and gone off or something, and he shot somebody in the leg, they probably had him in handcuffs, probably been stomping him by now, you know, probably been punching him in the back of his head, all that kind of stuff. You know, but that's just Bennett. That's just Bennett, you know, just reflecting on the how can I say this? This whole business of the disparity in how certain groups are not treated. How about I say it like that? Maybe that's a good way to go at it. All right. But let me tell you though, what this does though, it still brings and it pushes another issue. It puts it on the table, puts it in play. And that issue itself really is violence and guns. Violence and guns. Let me tell you what happened this week too. I was reading something, a post by the Washington Times, which I think is a rather conservative kind of newspaper. I was talking with Patillo about it, and Patillo thinks this is a rather conservative kind of newspaper. So, you know, he and I were talking a little bit about it. But what's interesting is on Tuesday, they published this article about guns. And this is what the argument was. They were making a claim that guns themselves, ownership of guns and the Second Amendment, is not something that comes to us from the government. It's not a government issue, or it's not something that's, this right to own guns is nothing that's grounded it's not grounded in the reasoning of the community that's voting or in politics. But this is what they said. They said it is a God-given right. God-given right. That ownership of guns in the Second Amendment is a God-given right. Now, you know that caught my attention. That caught my attention. You know, as that fella said in that movie a long time ago, the fly paper sticking. You know, that caught my attention. I got issues with this, and we're going to talk about this today. I want you to call, email, text, find somebody, and you let them know we're about to talk about the Second Amendment. We're about to talk about guns, and we're going to go into this piece that the Washington Times has put out there. Now, look, go to the WAOK Facebook page, and I think Sean has actually posted the article for us there. And you can read through it, and you can see what I'm talking about, and you can join me in the conversation, and we can go back and forth about this thing. We talking about guns. We talking about whether or not guns are a God-given right. And specifically, this is what I want to do. I want to push this issue as to, you know, again, is it a God-given right for everybody to own a gun? If it's a God-given right, then everybody should own a gun. Is it a God-given right, you know, to own guns? Or should just a few own guns? What say ye? I want to know what's on your mind. All right. 404-892-2703 is the number. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. That's Jeff Bradshaw. That's called Smooth Soul, Smooth Soul. Y'all know Bennett. I just love me some jazz. So whenever you tune in to give it some thought with Dr. Bennett, get your little pen out, because I'm going to tell you, we're going to be getting down with jazz. Sean is real good with giving us some jazz and some good delectable music on these Sunday afternoons. So you can sit down with your coffee or with your water, with your latte, or with your energy drink, or whatever your favorite beverage is. And you can enjoy the conversation. You can call in at 404-892-2703. And you can sit down and put together your little playlist, get you some nice jazz to listen to, you and your significant other, on a nice Sunday evening. You can sit out on the porch and just enjoy the breeze and enjoy the shade. And hey, you can pay close attention the things that are being talked about. Listen, I want to tell you something, and I want to go to the lines. You all know Crowns is a phenomenal musical, and interestingly enough, the last six shows are going to be running here, running Wednesday through Sunday. Crowns, the gospel musical. And listen, I want you all to get your tickets. Y'all need to go check this out. Y'all need to go get y'all tickets at brownpapertickets.com. brownpapertickets.com. And you can actually go and be a part of it and actually experience this Crowns, this whole play. It's this gospel musical. You need to go ahead and get it, all right? And get your tickets and go and check it out on a nice Sunday evening, all right? Or before it leaves, all right? All right, 404-892-2703. I am going to the lines because I want to find out what's on your mind. I'm about to go to one of our Nubian princesses, Nicole. Hello, Nicole.
Hey, Dr. Bennett, how are you?
I'm doing good now that I've heard your melodious voice. How you feeling?
I'm good. You know, I was really hoping you were going to bring back up your topic that you had with Rashad on Friday. I tried to get through, but so many people were calling.
I'm thinking about it. I'm serious.
I had never thought about that. Dr. Bennett, until you brought it up, I just had never thought of it. I guess because men are synonymous with DL, you just don't think of women. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to say, you know, I met a couple, entertainment couple that I wanted to meet, okay, because I'm such a fan of her, and it's Monique and her husband, Sydney.
Okay.
And I met them, and when, upon meeting them, I was looking for, you know, whatever, because, you know, you hear so much, her husband's bringing her career down, mm-hmm, you know, he's using her, blah, blah, blah. You know, Dr. Bennett, we were talking about people. What made me think of them is because the woman who said who wrote in and saying, should she tell her husband,
right,
tell her
right.
soon-to-be husband or fiancé or boyfriend
right.
or whatever,
I remember.
About her having previously been a lesbian.
Right.
If there's such a thing. I kind of think, once you're gay, you're gay. But that's just me. And she hadn't told him, and she wanted to let him know because she still had those urges, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about how, you know, somebody was like, you know, if you don't have to tell, don't tell, or wait to tell at a certain time or whatever. One thing about Monique and Sydney, I've never seen a couple more in tune with each other. And that's from meeting them. Of course, it could have been for show. I don't know. I'm not easy to fool on some things.
Okay.
But they are honest about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, that's really what you want in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
where you can tell that person anything. And I just think, I wanted to call in and say, I just think people should deal in that type of honesty, especially with someone you're sharing your body with, and
right.
they're sharing their body with you, especially with things that are concerning sharing bodies with maybe other people. You just need to be honest.
Yes.
I've never seen a couple, you could just see it, like they both glow. They hold hands. He's googly-eyed at her. Because usually, you know, sometimes it's just a woman. She's googly-eyed at him.
Right.
I was like, this, whatever they're doing, is working. So I really, and it just made me think about you. Your man, your woman should be able to tell you anything. Especially if you're at that point of sharing your life together, if you're choosing that person, let them know so that they can make a choice about what's going on, and you all can discuss it. Because just because you get married again in a committed relationship doesn't mean that you stop, you know, thinking other people are attractive.
Right.
It's going
right,
to happen.
Right.
And
that's
I
right.
just, I wanted to say that. And I just really, I'm glad you brought it up. I had just never thought of women
well, I
being
tell you
on
what,
the DL.
I tell you what, Nicole, I'm gonna think through that. Maybe we ought to do a whole nother conversation on that.
You
and talk about
such
that.
Such a topic. I just had never thought of that. I got one question before we go.
What's that?
Since you're a big jazz person.
What's
so
that?
Let me just ask you. My dad and I have this conversation all the time. He taught
okay.
me everything I knew about jazz. So Sarah Vaughan or Ella Fitzgerald?
Oh. Okay, you know. Here's the deal, and that's a great question. I'm going to have to say, you know, that's a tough question. Oh, let me see. Maybe I should say Ella Fitzgerald, and I will tell you, here is my biggest reason. Sometimes
okay.
it was hard to understand what Sarah Vaughan was saying.
It's two totally different styles.
That's what I'm saying.
I totally get that.
But other than that, then there are times I might have to say Sarah Vaughan. I mean, that's a tough call right there.
She's definitely in a class by herself. Not
right.
that Ella isn't,
right.
but two totally different styles, but two black women who definitely are jazz pioneers. The voices,
right.
oh my God, even both of them. I'm Team Ella, my dad,
okay.
Team Sarah. But Ella's voice is just so pure and melodic.
It is.
Even when she would sing, this is song, I can't even think of it now, but anyway, there's a song she sing, you sing all the time, and she would forget the words.
Mm-hmm.
And she just start making up her own words.
Hey, that's what
she
did.
She'd be telling you, I forgot the words, but I'm going to keep singing. And it's just, her voice is just really amazing. But yeah, I just always wonder that from people. Man, my dad and I go through it all the time about Sarah and Ella, and I just wanted to ask you that. Thank you so much for taking
my
call.
No, thank you for calling. All right, 448-922-7003. Boy, Nicole is really an attentive listener, and while we did have a conversation last week, and maybe we can bring that one back up and we can explore it a little more about women on the DL. Now, y'all, boy, that was a hot subject. We're talking about guns, too. We're talking about a lot of stuff that's going on. Nicole, I love jazz. I should have asked you, who do you, Stanley Clark, or is it Marcus Miller, or is it Wayman Tisdale, or is it Bootsy Collins, or, you know, is it Larry Graham? You know, who is your favorite bass player? Sean, what do you think? Who you think the best player out of all of those? Yeah. Marcus Miller, Stanley Clark, Bootsy Collins, Larry Graham. You know, who you think? Wayman Tisdale? I mean, these bass players.
Marcus Miller.
Okay, I like Marcus Miller. All right, that's all right. All right, 448-922-7003. Oh, boy, we calls a lit. I'm going to go to Keith. Keith, how you doing?
How you doing, my frat brother?
What's up, bro? How you doing, man?
I'm good, my brother. I'm good. Loving the topic. Guns. You know what? I'm going to play the edge real quick.
Okay.
And let's look at the discourse.
All right.
Is guns a God-given right? I would say if you ask the evangelical or fundamentalist.
Say more about that. I think you should say more about that because let me ask you, why are you saying that? Why are you saying that?
Because I think it's kind of twisted because we read the same Bible,
mm-hmm.
but we get a whole different interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go from Genesis to Revelation, a lot of people don't get the book was written from the perspective of those who were oppressed. Those who were oppressed in hell, you know, we weren't weapon minded.
I agree with you. I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
I don't understand this discourse that guns are a God-given right when guns didn't exist in the Bible. Guns didn't exist. Nor was it even necessary. Because we could go to Scripture when Peter cut off, Malachi's ear.
Right.
Jesus was like, Peter, put the guy's ear back on. Like, that's unnecessary.
But now, Keith, let me flip the script on you a little bit. But think about this. Think about this. In the Hebrew Bible, them folk walk around with swords. They walk around with clubs. They walk around with weapons, you know, and they had
that's
them.
A sword,
They were strapped. Now, they were strapped.
That's okay, because, you know, because we know, Simon the Zealot was an assassin.
Absolutely.
Who hung out with Jesus.
So absolutely.
I'm cool with that, but that's a sword. That's not a gun.
But
if you walk around with, I don't have a problem you walk around with a knife or razor blade right now.
Well, let me do this, Keith. Hold on, Keith. This is what I got to do. I'm up against a hard break. I don't want you to go anywhere. I'm going to hear you out on the other side. Just hold on. I'm going to hold you over so I can.
I'm going to hang with you.
No, you stay right there, brother. We about to deal with this thing.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere, Keith. Don't you go
anywhere.
All right. Wow. Boy, I tell you, News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK. Boy, Sean, you gotta let that breathe just a little bit there, boy. That's that Nathan East, Philip Bailey. There you go. I just had to hear that. That's that Serpentine Fire. Boy, I tell you, y'all know I see you. I see you. I feel you. I see your head moving. I see your head moving. Yeah. Come on and groove with me. I know it. There you go. Gonna tell the story. Wow. That Nathan Neese, y'all. Can y'all be that Philip Bailey, Nathan Neese? They playing Serpentine Fire. That's an old classic. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Wow. 448-922-7703. We talking about guns. And I got my frat brother on the line. His name is Keith, and I'm about to go back to Keith. Keith, where you is, man?
How you doing, my brother? How you doing? You said you want to push down,
I want to push it. Let me tell you what I was going to say. This is where I was going with this, because let me tell you what you've done. The issue that you put in play is a great kind of move in the conversation. Here's what you've done. When you talked about Jesus and you talked about Malchus and the fellow's ear being cut off and self-defense kinds of issues, you start talking about the fundamentalists and the evangelicals, you've also opened the door for us to talk about whether or not the Bible would support, you know, the whole idea of having guns and maybe even gun control. You've done it. And I think that was a very, very interesting kind of tactic here. But here's the thing, though. I want you to think about this now. In the Bible, people like David and his men, David and those guys constantly was walking around with swords and clubs and weapons. But they didn't have guns. That's because that type of technology didn't exist. But they were toting weapons, bro. Those guys were walking around strapped.
Right, right. Well, let's give a little bit more pushback to it. But did God say carry the weapons, or did they just
Now you're trying to play a big boy game. No, God, that's not. And see, that's the way you're nuancing it is a great move. Here is the thing to consider. Does the Bible, or maybe even the Quran, whichever religious document you want, does it not support self-defense? That's one thing versus whether or not you need to have a gun to do it. That's a very different kind of conversation, you know, because the piece in the Washington Times, look at the Facebook page, 1380 WOK. You'll see there what I'm looking at.
I've been trying to read it and talk to you at the same time.
Yeah.
But here's the other part of the discourse. That's almost like that's redaction to sit there and say it's a God-given right to carry a gun. That's a redaction. There's no way you're trying to justify your insanity by saying it's God-given. Not you per se, but
no. You're right. I hear you. Because think about this, Keith. If in fact guns are a God-given right, then that means everybody is entitled to having a gun.
That's rich. That means we all should have it.
That's exactly right. And I'd almost bet you those same people that say guns are a God-given right, I'd almost bet you a lot of them got problems with black folk having guns.
Right. Now, this is you know, that goes down to the part, like if we deal with NRA.
Right.
Quit to jump on the bandwagon about gun rights. But in all actuality, that one person in NRA stood up for Philando Castile up in Milwaukee when he was gunned down by a police officer. And he had a license to carry a permit.
Right. No, there's a whole racial component to it. And I think that we would be foolish to act as though there was no racial component to it now. But this whole thing about God-given rights somehow or another, and, you know, that I guess a God-given right is something you have just as a mere fact that you can breathe or the mere fact that you're a human being. If that's the case, then you're saying regardless, you know, of who you are, your mental ability or whatever, everybody is entitled to a gun, and that's the way God set it up. Now, you can kind of feel where I'm going with this thing. I think you might be done bumped your head to make a claim like that.
I think you're going to bump more than your head. But I just hate this redaction that people use to justify their foolishness.
Yeah.
I just can't get with it.
Well, bro, I appreciate that, man. Well, listen, were you a first-time caller, Keith?
No, I think this may be my second time calling.
Okay. Well, that's good, man. I want you to keep on listening. Did you like the WAOK? You like the Facebook?
I do. As a matter of fact, I'm with one of your former students. He's actually getting ready to meet me now, Pastor Keith Ellis.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You tell Keith you talk to me. You tell Keith he need to turn on his radio. And you tell Keith he need to start paying attention. You tell Keith to give me a call.
I'm definitely getting ready to do that.
Man.
To you, Doc.
Oh, man. Appreciate you, bro. All right, bro. All right, dog. All right, Rue.
All right.
Oh, man. 4489-2270-38. Nothing like hearing from the bros. Ain't nothing like hearing from the bros. We talking about guns. All right. Let me go to Louise. Louise, how you is?
I'm doing great, Brother Ben. And how are you this evening?
250%. 250.
Oh, that sounds good. Yes, but I've been listening to I listen to WAOK all day, every day. My granddaughter told me once, said, "Nana, do you ever watch TV? Because it's never on."
Yeah.
And I'm very, very little, because it's so. I'm always anxious to learn and want to learn. And this is my first time calling your show.
Oh, this is your first time caller. You know what? Well, I tell you what, Sean got a little something for you. Welcome to the family.
Yes. You have a beautiful subject today, and there's so many points that I would love to speak on. But first, this country was brought about with guns. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
It was. Guns and violence and... Oh, it's just so much, but definitely rape, murder, triumphalism, but guns were right. You can't tell the history of America without talking about guns.
That's right. So it is it just buffoons me, if that's a word, to think that these people are going to give up their guns.
Mm-hmm.
Forget it.
Right,
and
right.
And also, when you and Richard on Friday, I could not get your whole conversation because that was my doctor's appointment.
Oh,
but
okay.
Just thinking about, I mean, myself at 73, well, this is my 74th year with my birthday coming up, to even 51 years of marriage, to even consider multiple, if I knew something like that. Now, I don't know, he may have done a lot of things, but you can believe me, he made sure I never knew, because there would be one word, and that's lawyer.
You to tighten him up, huh?
You out of here. And when it comes,
you to put them hands on him. You to put them hands on him.
Because, no, it's not. I'm not a violent person, but you see, so many wives,
yeah.
And this is serious, so many women, and you would think that there would be married women in the gynecologist's office, but it's not. It's married women with all kinds of disease, and I mean, it's terrible. And I learned that from the ladies in my family, and they would tell you, so no, you do not allow anybody to treat your body in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is filthy. I mean, to listen to some of that, my God, I would go in and take a bath. And also, with the shootings in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
I don't know now. My church has spoke about it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I do not hear the church really. I wish I knew. Somebody tell me what I could do to speak to somebody.
Right, right.
Stop this killing.
Right.
That's your brother. That's mm-hmm. your sister.
Right.
And I'm going to hang up and enjoy the rest of the show, because I'm sure somebody's going to say something to give me a little encouragement. You have a good one now.
No, thank you so very, very much, Louise. All right, I got one slot open where Louise just jumped out of. And you go ahead and you give us a call and you can get in that slot. The number is 404-892-2703. We're talking about guns. We're talking about that Second Amendment. And, you know, the Facebook page is posted there, that piece by the Washington Times. They're talking about guns are a God-given right. The Second Amendment is a God-given right, and I want to know what you think about that. All right, write it down again, 404-892-2703. You hear the music, that means Bennett got to go to a break. Listen, I have several callers. Don't you go anywhere. I'm coming to you on the other side of this break, all right? News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. That's Derek Frank playing that old Hall and Oates piece. You know, I can't go for that. I think Brian McKnight remade it. But this fella, he's doing his thing, playing that bass. You know, I'm just telling y'all, boy, jazz is just a beautiful thing. We're talking about guns. We're talking about the Second Amendment. And to help frame the conversation, go to the WAOK Facebook page, and you'll see the article there that was that kind of got me to thinking about this, that was done by the Washington Times. I think they wrote the article on Tuesday, or they published it on Tuesday, and it you know, kind of raises a very interesting issue when it's talking about guns. And not only does it, you know, it not only do they make the claim, you know, that people ought to have guns, they go as far as, the article goes as far as to say that guns are what God, or that God ordained people to have guns, that guns are a God-given right. Wow. Okay, I know y'all probably saying, well, you know, maybe that's true. Well, I tell you what, I want to hear what you think about it. 449-227-03. All right, let's see. I am going to go to Avery. Avery, you're on.
Good evening. How are you?
Man, I'm good. How you doing, Avery?
I'm doing okay. Are you familiar with this name, Hadea Pendleton?
I'm not.
She was that majorette that performed at Mr. Obama's inauguration.
Okay.
She was the majorette.
Okay.
She's from Chicago.
Okay.
And she died on January 25th, 2010. She was 15 years old.
Okay.
And what's ironic about this death is she died on Oprah Winfrey's 59th birthday.
Okay.
But she did perform for Mr. Obama's inauguration. She represented King College Prep School.
Okay.
The high school. And if she was around today, she'd have been 23. She would have finished college and everything. Probably went to grad school. We don't know what this lady could have became. She could have been a doctor that had a cure for AIDS, a lawyer,
right,
or a dentist, or a doctor, or whatever the case may be. But the reason why I brought that her name up is because I'm originally from Chicago, and I have two cousins that got killed up there. And I tell these people out here, man, you know, when we tell these folks about passing legislation, doing things for us, They turn a deaf ear. And I give you an example of what I'm talking about. You probably know about this. The shootings at Atlanta University, all of a sudden, when they start shooting at Georgia Tech, they hear what we're talking about. But like I said, it takes another shooting or another death or something for them to come to grips with what's going on with gun violence.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Avery. And I don't, you know, first of all, I want to, you know, send out my condolences about the personal losses that you've experienced. My question is, was it a result of gun violence? That's what I want to know specifically. With the majorette or the person who performed for President Obama, how did that person die? Was it gun violence? I don't know.
Yeah, it was somebody shot her in the back. Somebody,
okay, I didn't
was at,
know.
Yeah,
didn't
at the school. She just came out. She was going home, and make a long story short, somebody just shot her, you know what I mean? But he's
wow.
in jail now. They find out who did it. They did some investigation,
okay,
and everybody said that fool did it, but he's in jail right now. But still, the point of the matter is, man, these folks out here are just crazy. I mean,
right.
You know, and they're talking about a God-given right to have a gun. No, it's supposed to be a God-given right to protect yourself,
mm-hmm.
The God-given right to have self-preservation, self-defense. You know what I mean? Now, I don't have no problem with no man or woman having a gun to protect their family,
mm-hmm.
their property, you understand, their surroundings.
Right.
You know what I mean? Their home or whatever. I have no problem with that. The problem comes in when these fools out here don't follow the law. They go out here and stick up a liquor store, or they rob a bank, or whatever the case may be. That's a whole different meaning. But I'm talking about if you want to, you know, protect your surroundings, you know, I have no problem with that. But I tell anybody out there, example, Philander Castillo, the caller earlier said that, hey, he did everything right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a permit, he had his gun registered and everything, and look what happened to him.
Right.
So it's like, you know, it's like, hey, man, damn if you do, damn if you don't. But I tell anybody out there, man, but like I said, you know, I think if he did understand how to handle the police a little bit differently, he probably would have been alive today. But thank you for taking my call.
Oh, not a problem, Avery, not a problem. Thank you. 448-9227-03. I'm going to go to Art. Art, how you doing?
Dr. Bennett, how's it going, sir?
Man, how you doing? How's it going?
Man, doing well.
Man, what you think about that? Go ahead, my friend, go ahead.
I love this conversation. I think it's a thoughtful conversation, but, you know, the question that I've always, you know, pondered is why are people so emotional about this issue when in fact this is a law? This is not, see, when you start saying that this is my God-given right, the question then becomes, in what context did God give this right to you? Because
mm-hmm.
I believe when it comes to us as believers, there's a scripture that says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar and unto me what is mine. So the Bible, I believe, talks about us being in subjection to the authorities and the powers and all of those that are above us. But what does that have to do with God intervening and telling us we ought to own guns? I don't think that that has anything to do with anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people have made this out to be an emotional issue when, in fact, the problem is people are conflating the issue of what the Second Amendment is actually saying. You have to go back and look at the argument in the Congress at the time that was being made around why the Second Amendment came about. People don't know why the Second Amendment came about to make the inference to, well, it's my God-given right. The Second Amendment came around because there was a problem with tyranny and overthrow of government. And so militia at that time does not mean what people think militia means today. Mm-hmm. Militia at that time actually meant National Guard. And that's what we have for every state. And so when you look at the individualism aspect of it, there was no intent for individuals just to be random to own guns. I mean, it doesn't even bear itself out as an appropriate statistic when it comes to suggesting that, well, I own a gun to protect myself. Well, look at the statistics on people who own a gun, uh-huh, and they protect themselves against an intruder. So I'm not really sure where people are getting it, because it just seems like it's out of the air. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Because I find it to be fascinating, to be honest with you.
Well, I tell you what, I do too. I mean, when I think about that Second Amendment, and I'm looking at it, and that says a well-regulated militia being necessary, right, to the security of a free state. The right of the people, right, to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Right. And I'm thinking that this has a lot to do with ensuring that whoever's in the militia has weapons and whatnot. Because even
National Guard.
And that would be something very similar to a National Guard. And Art, I will tell you this, what's interesting, if you look at this other part of the Second Amendment, talk about the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So what does, I mean, do I have a right to get me a tank if I want one? Do I have a right to get me a bomb, yeah, if I want one? Do I have a right to, you know what I'm saying? Do I have a right to go get me some biochemical kind of stuff? I mean, you know, where do you draw the limits? I mean, can I not get what I want?
I think it was Chief Justice Rehnquist back in late 80s or early 90s. He basically said that the Second Amendment was a fraud. And the conversation around the Second Amendment did not turn into what we mean it to be today, you know, until maybe 50 years ago. See, this is the context of the Second Amendment has changed because of people's political perspective.
You better believe it.
It makes you now think, well, what in the world is a Christian supposed to be advocating for owning a gun when, in fact, I thought that's what we had law enforcement?
Well, I tell you what, Art, you're a first-time caller. I want to give you that big old shout-out.
Oh, man, I appreciate
it. All right, you hear that music playing in the background, that means I got to go. All right, Art, thank you for calling. Hey, y'all, I got to go. News and Talk Radio, got to go to a break. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
On News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. That's Staten Island Groove. Sean is playing, they call it Down to the Bone. Sean, that's Down to the Bone, boy. I hear you, man. You're working your magic over there on that board there. 4-4-9-2-2-7. He holding up the magic fingers, y'all. 449-22703. We talking about this article, you know, that the Washington Times posted about guns and saying guns are a God-given, you know, kind of entitlement. And you all are thinking very differently about it. And I want to know what you think. 449-22703. I'm going to Lithonia. Kevin, good evening, Kevin.
Good evening, Dr. Bennett. How are you?
Man, let me tell you, it's so good to hear your voice. I thought you had absconded.
I've been trying to catch up with you. Before I weigh in on the topic, so you're talking about bass players.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually on my way to the city winery.
Okay.
To see a group that features one of my favorite bass players. His name is Jimmy Heslop.
Okay.
A.K.A.
Okay.
H-A-S-L-I-P. He plays electric bass.
Okay, okay.
And he is known for being a member of a group called the Yellow Jackets.
Oh, okay. I remember the Yellow Jackets. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He played with Anita Baker and Chaka Khan, a whole bunch of people, but that's what he's known for.
Oh, the Yellow Jackets were smooth, man. They were smooth.
Yeah, yeah. And he's very interesting because he plays his guitar, his bass upside down. So if you think of the way Jimi Hendrix played a right-handed guitar, flipped it left-handed. So this player plays a right-handed bass, but he flips it because he's left-handed, and he keeps the strings. The strings are still strung as if it was a right-handed bass. So he has a very unique way of playing. He gets a great sound out of that bass. So, now I like all the bass players that play with Miles Davis too. So on this topic, the first question we had to deal with is we're talking about this God-given rights and God. Well, first of all, whose God are we talking about? And so, because this takes us back to the question, because this assumes a lot of things that we're talking about.
Oh, it assumes
about.
A whole lot it of things. I agree.
It assumes that we're talking, what God are we talking about? So it kind of assumes that we're talking about a particular God. It kind of assumes something that a lot of people believe, that America, you know, this notion that America was founded as a Christian nation. There are people that actually think that America was personally founded by God. That God. I mean, they seriously do. So,
I call it this triumphalism kind of motif that's woven into the fabric of America, and it's connected with guns. It really is.
Absolutely. You know, and so the Constitution says that there are certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mention guns, at least, well, because it says among, so it doesn't mention guns as being primary, but there's this understanding that the Bill of Rights, I guess the first 10 amendments,
right?
The point is that someone is assuming that these rights that are given in the Bill of Rights, that God gave these. This is someone's interpretation, because it's not in the Bible that these amendments are, that God is, delineating these rights. So someone at some point in time interpreted or made up what God supposedly said what our rights were. There are a lot of assumptions going on and a lot of things that have to be considered before we start talking. Because what other rights are God given? Is it just what somebody wrote in the Constitution? And who are you to say, what my God has determined for me? Just raises a whole bunch of questions. Some people would not be happy with you raising these questions, because it kind of strikes at the foundation of, the so-called traditional conservative belief system.
Well, it does, Kevin. It does. And it's so amazing how this whole idea of saying that guns are a God-given right, I do believe that stems from a certain kind of theological kind of understanding, and I would argue that these evangelicals, and I hate to put the blame squarely at their feet, but I would be willing to argue that's who behind a lot of this. I really do. It's a problem. It's a serious problem.
They made it up, and it's we're in a time now where people are very emotional about everything. There's a certain group of people that are very emotional about, what it means to be in America, to be an American, and what America looks like. They don't want people coming here because it's going to change.
Right.
Threatens what America is. They don't want you to challenge them on saying certain things and making certain assumptions about, Black people or people that are different, because their conception of being an American
means that you're, you know, Christian,
sure.
evangelical.
Right.
You have a certain set of beliefs, and all of these beliefs are being challenged. Mm-hmm. So they have to bring up God, you know, in order to solidify their position or to make their position and to appeal to people's emotions to sort of keep this thing going. But anyway, I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you, bro.
You going out of here?
Yeah, you took me back a minute. You talking about the Yellow Jackets, man? That's all right there, bro. All right, enjoy your evening, Kevin. All right. Listen, 449-22703. I'm going to go to Carmina. Hopefully, I pronounced that correctly. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Not quite. It's Karima.
Okay. Well, listen. Are you a first time caller?
I am a first-time caller.
Wait. Don't do anything. I'm going to show you how much I appreciate you by being a first-time caller. Look at that. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. Yeah, you deserve that. Mm-hmm. Now, you tell me about guns. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you, Dr. Bennett, for that applause. I appreciate it. So I wanted to talk about our God-given rights. And
okay.
I personally think that our God-given rights are the right to life, the mm-hmm. right to freedom, and the right to our natural earth. And I think everything else is things that we as, you know, citizens or humans decide are our rights. And I wanted to specifically talk about this article that guns are a God-given right. And so many people think that. But I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I unfortunately twice have looked down the barrel of a gun.
Oh, my.
Once I was just working and at a pizza restaurant and we got held up. Another time I was out and a guy got rowdy and I actually stood in front of it to try to diffuse the energy. But what I know about guns is that they create a false sense of powerfulness for the people who hold them,
uh-huh.
which can be definite for the if they murder someone, and it absolutely creates a sense of powerlessness for the people who are behind, you know, who
right.
are possibly victims of guns or gun violence. And I have been listening to the show, and I think it's a great show.
Oh,
and
thank you.
I keep hearing about this idea that guns are a God-given right. That to me, it definitely sounds like an alt-right idea. It definitely sounds like an evangelical idea, and it definitely to me comes from a group of people who internally feel so powerless,
mm-hmm.
and they are trying to create a powerful stance by having guns. So that's pretty much all I have to say about it. And I just really appreciate the show and what you're doing for the community.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you. All right. And thank you for being a first-time caller. All right. Listen, call in. I got a couple of slots available. And I'm going to get right to you on the other side of the break. My callers who have just been holding so patiently. 448-9227-03 is the number, and you can be a part of the conversation. In the meantime, before we come back on from the break, go to the WAOK Facebook page. Go to that page, like the page, get the article. You'll see what we're talking about. You can be a part of the conversation, all right? And you can get a chance to read and review the material before we have the conversation, all right? News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
On News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. I tell you, I'm just sitting here just in my mind thinking about that FBI agent who calls himself dancing and doing the stanky leg or something. And then he decides he's going to do
He was trying to dance like an instinct.
What'd you say, Sean?
He was trying, the FBI agent.
Uh-huh.
He was trying to dance like one of the members of NSYNC in the video.
Oh, my goodness.
It seemed like it.
And flips, and his gun comes out, and he picks it up and shoots somebody in the leg. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even know that FBI agents were still carrying their gun in the back of their pants, hanging out their underwear. I thought that was old school.
I will admit, he does have a little bit of soul in here for a Caucasian guy.
Oh, no, you didn't say that. All right. Listen, 4489-22703. We're talking about guns, and we're talking about whether guns are a God-given right. And you all have weighed in on that issue. I wonder where in the world are some of my fundamentalist, evangelical, alt-right, right-wing people. Nobody is calling in, standing up for the Washington Times. I wonder what is going on. Hopefully we haven't run off the opposition. I hope maybe our arguments are just so compelling that there is absolutely no need to engage that position. We'll see. 4-4-9-2-2-7-0-3. Let me go to the lines. I'm going to go to Ronald. Ronald, you're on. Go ahead, Ronald.
How you doing, Dean Benny?
Man, I'm 250%. How you doing?
I'm doing great, too. You know me from ITC.
Good for me.
Yes, sir. I want to make the comment that it is absolutely our Second Amendment right and God-given right to bear arms, because all of these are social constructions. God did not create the Second Amendment. God did not create America. God did not create guns. These were all inventions of us in societies. Now, God did give us the intelligence to use whatever is in society for the preservation of what he did give us, which is our life.
Mm-hmm.
I want callers to think about this. Thursday is June 7th. A month from Thursday will be July 7th. July 7th will be the two-year anniversary of Micah Xavier Johnson, who identified these white dogs as police officers, and he exercised his God-given intelligence to eliminate these threats against our community. I keep hearing callers talk about whether or not we should have the right to have arms or guns, but nobody argues the right of this government to have guns. And that's what they do, because whether or not we have them, they have them, and they use them against us all the time. Michael Xavier Johnson was a veteran. He fought in Afghanistan, and he came back home to realize that his tax-paying dollars are funding police systems at the state, local, and federal level that are being executing racist policies against black communities.
All right.
And in the moment of truth, I find that black people, too many times we blink in the exercise of our God-given right to protect ourselves, because we consistently debate and define or redefine our right to be human. I think it's important when you look at the advocates of nonviolence in the 60s, the SCLC, Dr. King, Wyatt T. Walker, James Farmer, they initially espoused an idea that within 7 to 10 years through nonviolence, we would have a moral reformation in which systems of violence would no longer be used to strangle us in poverty. System of violence will be no longer used to keep us fearful. And we know that by 1967, Dr. King himself reversed his policy and said, I've now integrated my people into a burning house.
Uh-huh.
And this is something we have to understand. God has given us the power to protect ourselves. I'm not necessarily an advocate of guns, but when you look at the history of this country, beginning with Bacon's Rebellion, when you look at how the federal government, state governments have solved every issue of conflict, when you see that since the 1980s, the U.S. military has been funneling their excess weapons to municipal agencies, we have to understand that we're living in a context that if we debate our right to use whatever means necessary to enforce our dignity, we have left ourselves at a complete and utter moral disadvantage. And I feel as if that this debate, when black people in particular debate and qualify our need to protect ourselves, qualify our need to close ranks. Mm-hmm. We leave ourselves in a position in which we will forever be dependent upon a system that no longer represents us, that never represented us. In fact, a system that was founded on our dehumanization and exploitation.
Right. That's right.
The Declaration of Independence says clearly that when the government is unwilling or unable to protect our rights, that it is our obligation to overthrow that government. And so we're not going to overthrow that government through prayer vigils. We're not going to overthrow these systems of power through collective forms of peace when people are acting violently against us. I'll say this last thing and I will close. The South, I'm a proud Southerner. One of the reasons that the South dominates the political and economic discourse of this country is because they fought with guns. They were outmanned by the North. They were out-resourced by the North, but they had an issue that they could not resolve through any way other than standing up for themselves. Even though we disagree with every principle that they put forth, we see that once they stood up, the North never came from the South again. Mm-hmm. These Northern politicians are not challenging Southern politicians in Mississippi and North Carolina when they wanted to pass the bill that outlaws homosexuality. We see that the politics of the solid South continues to vote as a block in every single election and turns the tide politically and economically to disadvantage groups that represent me and you. And yet in our community, we continue to debate the basic reality of how we can defend ourselves, of how we can promote our liberty, of how we can promote our rights. I think Micah Xavier Johnson had the right idea. I think Nat Turner had the right idea. I believe that many black clergy members like Bishop Henry McNeil Turner, Henry Highland Garnett, these are people who espouse the absolute right and dignity for the black community to defend itself by any means necessary. And we demonize this viewpoint and yet are very inefficient in providing the force necessary to stop the destruction of our community by law enforcement. These are the people who work for us, who serve us, yet they are outgunning us, they out-ammunition us, and we have to sit here and debate whether or not God wants me to pick up a gun to protect the integrity of my community. If my God doesn't give me the common sense to recognize what time period I'm living in and the methods that are being used to handcuff me, then I don't think my God is doing me any favors. So I do believe God gives us the right to amass weapons because that is what amassed against us. And I don't necessarily believe in guns in and of themselves, but I do believe the political and economic climate in which the black community have lived, in which our women have lived and our children have lived, will necessitate men who have the courage to espouse a faith and a belief system that we don't have to go from one foot to the next in trying to defend our human dignity. And, you know, I appreciate this topic, but I do think we are going to have to get down to the nitty-gritty because I say this and I will end. One of the reasons why we don't challenge people on the alt-right and the fundamentalists is because we know they'll come and get us. We know that they will violently support their own viewpoints, as we saw in Charlottesville, Virginia, last year. They're still killing. They're still eliminating the political opposition that faces them through violence. And yet it is us who consistently, after 400 years in this country, we still want to see whether or not God has given us the right to protect our integrity. I think we need to be beyond this conversation. I think the reality of how we live in this country encourages us to go ahead and know that we have every right and every means to protect our integrity.
Ronald, thank you so much for that call, man. I appreciate that. All right, y'all. Listen, Todd, I'm getting to you right on the other side of this break. I know you hear the music. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Sean has struck gold. That's Brian Simpson. It's called Soul Embrace. Soul Embrace. I am just embracing this conversation about what you all think about guns and whether or not gun ownership is a divine right. The Washington Times thinks so. The gentleman who published, or whoever that was, published that article seems to think that that's the Second Amendment is somehow or another follows from what God wants for people. And, you know, I have, when I hear folk talking like that, I automatically get cringe. I just cringe and I start wondering what's going on in their head. And I don't know. I'll say that, yes, self-defense perhaps is a God-given right, but how you do that is a whole nother story. I don't know what you think. 449-227-03. I am going to the lines. I am going to get my intellectual hand-to-hand combat partner. Hello, Todd.
Dr. Harold Bennett.
What's happening, man?
Although my understanding of Yahweh is limited, my understanding is strong. Having never had a conversation with Yahweh on this particular topic, I'm inclined to say probably, yeah, it is a divine right.
Oh, come on, Todd. Okay. Now, you know me. I love conversation. Why in the world would you make that claim that God is? Because I'm telling you right now, Todd, there's a whole bunch of places where your argument is vulnerable. But I want to hear why you make that claim.
Guns protect your life. Guns are tools for the protection of life. Prior to guns, there were swords, knives, and clubs. And they were all designed for the protection and preservation of life.
Okay, so if it's a God-given right, that means every single person, just as a result of their breathing and moving and whatnot, they're entitled to having a gun, right?
If they so choose, yeah.
All right, so that means someone who's mentally ill.
No,
that means someone who's mentally ill, right?
No, it means anybody who can handle the gun.
Well, then it's not a God. God-given rights aren't just for those who meet certain conditions.
No, it's not.
If it's God-given, that means, Todd, you are entitled to it just by the mere fact that you're a human being.
It's not that simple.
I know it's not that simple.
No, it's not that simple.
I think you realize you're in trouble, man.
No, I think you committed yourself to a concept that's incorrect.
No, no, okay, okay.
And I'm gonna help you correct yourself.
Well, help me to grow, Todd.
Okay.
Help me to grow. No, I'm cool with this. Help me to grow. Tell me, why is it a God-given right only applies to certain people?
Because you have to be able to use it responsibly. It is a tool to protect life. For example, it is not the right of a 2-year-old to have a .44 caliber gun. They do not have the ability to use it responsibly. They could kill themselves.
But that raises a question, though, Todd. Is food a God-given right?
Some food is.
And I would say this. Then should not children be entitled to food? I mean, that's a human rights.
They should only be entitled to some food.
That's exactly right.
They should only be entitled to some food, and other children that are entitled to some food, those children should only be entitled to food that will give them nourishment,
but Todd,
and not compromise their existence.
But Todd, it is not a human rights violation to keep someone from having a gun. To prevent someone from having a gun is not a human rights violation.
It is in the United States.
No, it's not a human rights violation.
The Second Amendment says.
No. What the Second Amendment say? I got it right here. I'm looking at it, Todd.
All right, right. There's three. It's a one sentence. It has three commas
right after
the second comma. What does it tell you?
It said, I'm going to read it to you. You ready? You ready? You ready for some action?
Yeah.
All right. I went to A&T, Doug. I can read. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. That's the first thing it says. The right of the people to keep and bear arms. It doesn't say anything about which type of arms they can have. I mean, does this give me the right to buy a tank?
Actually, then you could have a cannon. Legally, you could then have a cannon.
But, Todd,
that was a weapon of mass destruction, then you could have it.
But, Todd, according to your logic, I mean, this thing, it says the right to bear an arms. I mean, do I have the right to go and buy me a nuclear bomb if I want one?
No.
No, I do not. That's
but
right.
But you asked a question about guns.
Or it
now
doesn't.
You're talking about bombs. So why you want to talk about bombs and the question is about guns?
The issue is about this whole clause here and to what does it pertain? Does it
at
in any
time,
kind of a...
At that time, it meant knives, swords, arrows, bow and arrows, and guns.
Well, this is what I'm getting at.
And cannons.
What I'm saying then, when I read the Second Amendment, what I'm looking at is it's basically saying that people who are pretty much going to be involved in militia, you know, because you didn't have a standing army. You do know that, right? The United States did not have a standing army. They had to, basically, they got little troops from different colonies. And citizens from individual colonies made up the militia. The United States did not have a standing army.
Okay.
And for that reason, they had to have some kind of way to put something to field, some kind of entity to perhaps protect themselves. And I'm saying perhaps, but there was no standing army. So that it would make sense that certain people would have arms because there was no standing army.
Okay,
but what happens when you got a standing army, Todd?
There's a reason why there's commas in that sentence.
I'm asking you what happens when you have a standing army and the whole milieu that created from which that regulation came, it has changed. And then look at the history of how this thing has been looked at. If that's something that applies to all people, were black people in America? How about the slaves? Did they have a right to own guns?
Not at that time.
Well, but it says the rights of the people. They were people.
Well, it's not at that time as it applies to the Constitution, but it doesn't mean they didn't have a God-given right to have those guns. It just means as it applies to the Constitution, they didn't have them. There's a reason why those three commas are in there. And that's why I sent you to after the second comma, tell me what was the last sentence.
Uh-huh.
And the last sentence makes it clear that the government's not supposed to infringe on that right to guns, okay, or to bear arms.
Well,
okay?
Now, bear arms is one thing, but
right.
Whether or not you should have a gun is another issue.
Well, that's what they were referencing when they said guns, when they said bear arms. That's what they were talking
okay,
about.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Arms.
So they was referring muskets?
Muskets. Muskets,
right.
Cannons, swords, and knives. And it applied to white dudes.
Right.
Then
so,
later on they made the revisions necessary. And in the revision, it made it clear. It made it clear that black people, men, could have guns, and you have the right to defend your life. And if the tools of the day that can cause a negative compromise to your life are guns, then you have a right to have a gun to protect yourself from people who might want to compromise your ability to exist unlawfully, unmorally. Yes.
Now my response, Sean. I'm talking to Todd. I'm about to tighten him up. Did I say, and I want you to think about this, Todd, is it a God, is self-defense a God-given right?
Yes.
I think it is.
Yes.
But is gun ownership a God-given right? No.
In self-defense, it is.
Self-defense is, but gun ownership is not.
It is in self-defense.
Todd.
It is in self-defense.
Todd, you're falling off, Todd. You're falling off.
All right, well, I'm going to point you to something. I'm going to point
okay,
you to something.
Go ahead,
Sean would know about this, too. I don't remember the guy's last name, but Sean could pull him up.
Okay.
Defensive back for the Washington Redskins. His first name was Sean.
Yeah, yeah, he got shot. They broke into his house or something.
Home invasion.
Yeah,
He didn't have a gun to protect himself against two dudes that came into the house with guns.
Right,
all he had was a type of hatchet. I forgot what they call them. And he got killed.
Yeah.
But the government said that because he had a prior incident, okay, that he couldn't have a gun on him at the time. All right. But he had a God given right to protect himself.
He
and
did.
The government took away his God given right to protect himself. Hold on. Okay.
All right. Listen, man. Thank you so much, Todd. You hear that music? That means I got to go. I got about 50 seconds.
Well, you got enough time to say I'm right. You were right, Todd.
You are right. You're right about it being. You know, self-defense being a right, but gun ownership, nada. All right. You know what? It's time to go. I got exactly 44 seconds to go. Funny how time flies when you're having fun. The evening just went so quickly. Listen, thank you all so much for the conversation. Just a great, great day. Go on to the web, to our Facebook page, WAOK, Facebook page, The Voice of the Community, and you can see the article. Gene Ross, thank you so much for everything. Sean, yeah, you made it happen. The AOK audience, give it some thought, audience. You made it happen. HBCU faithful, you made it happen. And Jackie Teal, shout out to you, baby. You had a good, strong boy. Give it some thought, y'all. Bye.